Would you like a little White House propaganda to go with your amateur porn? Talk about a mood killer. Hey, everybody, I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott, and this is Right Angle, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. And, gentlemen, you know, stories come across my desk, particularly on Tuesday mornings, which is when we tape these shows. And this one just killed me. There's an OnlyFans star. Her name is Farah Khalidi, who says she was doing full-on political propaganda. That's her phrase for the Biden administration, among her more purient stuff on her OnlyFans page. And I discovered her through the Richard Tanania podcast, who said that he found her in a different context. She was on an actual podcast, something newsy, and he came away thinking that Farah was interesting because she had the voice and affectation of a condescending leftist, but the words that were coming out of her mouth were actually sensible, which is just an unsettling combination. I'm sure she doesn't do that on her OnlyFans, but the point is that at some point before then, somebody on the left had kind of discovered her talent and was feeding her through a media company talking points to use, White House talking points. And she says, this actually came through during the KBJ confirmation hearings a couple of years ago, where she said, I think they just wanted some edgy girl of color just to tell people that they're like, can you say as a person of color, you know, you feel reflected by Joe Biden's pick for the Supreme Court? And that's where I got to respect this gal. That's where she drew the line. She didn't want some white woman at this media company telling her how she should feel as a woman of color. But the point remains that the left is finding spokespersons everywhere and taking advantage of every platform they can. And Bill, where do you go now? There seems to be no place, for lack of a better phrase, that the left doesn't get you coming and going.
Well, you know, there's obviously a pornography pandemic out there, and it's destroying young people's lives. And I think really the only thing that I can think of that would really curtail the viewing of online pornography would be to have every one of those videos have Nancy Pelosi come out in a bathing suit at the beginning and give you a couple of pointers. I think that'd pretty much do it. I'm done. Nope. Thanks. Nope. Good. I'm fine. I don't need to see any more. It's hard to tell which is more ridiculous here. You can't. If you're waiting to find the bottom of what the modern progressive movement will do in terms of like this is a depth to which they will not stoop, you're going to be waiting a long time. They got shovels ready to keep digging deeper the minute they hit bottom. So there's that, and there's also the idea, you know, frankly, that on a larger issue, the idea that a person, for those out there who manage to maintain a little class and dignity in your lives and don't know what OnlyFans is. OnlyFans is essentially like homegrown, it's individual pornography. So basically any woman in the world can start a page here and she can do whatever she wants to do on camera and people will pay her and OnlyFans takes a percentage, but she gets paid directly. She's not working for a porn company. She's not working for, she's not in movies. She's just doing webcam stuff. And anybody can do this. Anybody can do this. And some of these people make millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars in some cases. But I guess my point, Steve, is it says an awful lot about our culture and especially about the Democratic Party to think that somebody who is known for doing pornographic webcam sessions as an influencer, you know, don't you find that a little disturbing? Like, this is the kind of person that's going to move some votes. This is the kind of person that young people are going to pay attention to. I'm just glad that social media celebrities are called influencers. I'm glad they didn't call them celebrities because that would impinge on my territory. but seriously, anytime I hear the word influencer, I know exactly what I'm dealing with, and I'm not impressed.
Yeah, neither am I. However, I am impressed by this kind of web of leftism, and I guess more so their ability to talent scout. Scott, you go on social media and you see these accounts that sprang out of nowhere, like JoJo from Jurs and Brooklyn Dad, that have all these bot followers that are bought and paid for. They're on the somebody's payroll on the left, and so they have this outsized influence. Bring back that word Bill was just using. You look at I do another video podcast on Mondays and Fridays at PJ Media with Stephen Cruiser, who has been writing about education reform for decades now, and the first thing he noticed, and this is going back a ways, is that Democrats use school board elections as their sort of farm team for developing new talent. And this is something, Scott, this ability to spot young talent and develop it, that we seem to be missing on the right, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that in some ways they're shrewd, you know, and they're smart. In other ways, I think they get carried away. I mean, the two things that I thought of when you first started talking about this was, one, to paraphrase a former Supreme Court justice, I can't define craven politics, but I know it when I see it. You know,
it's is there a difference between that and what you stole the quote from?
No, not really. And then I guess I would ask anybody who's paying money to get influencers, so-called, to spout talking points is, why buy a cow when you're getting free milk? I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand why they're paying people to say things. They should just let it go, because the kind of people who devote their lives to on-screen pornography and some of the other kinds of trashy, puerile influencerism are already bent in that direction, and you really don't have to feed them talking points. You can just give them the reins and let them run. Having observed local politics at the granular level a number of years ago, I suggested to somebody, I said, you know, I think we need to create, for want of a better term, a mock county commissioner body. And we need to train people on how to be county commissioners. And I didn't mean in any sort of craven political way, like how to get votes, but I meant how to conduct a legislative body. We elect people because we like them. They, you know, they were Boy Scout leaders. They were school teachers. We have some relationship with them to school boards, really not based on any knowledge of how they will be able to function in a legislative body, but just because of affinity. And then you get them on there and you find that they waste hours and hours and then consequently millions of dollars because they're not serving as an appropriate check on the executive in those bodies, because they don't really know how to function as a legislature. So I was talking to some of the leaders of our local committee and saying, you know, we really need to prepare people in a serious way. If you want to be able to be influential at the school board, township supervisor, county commissioner level, and then state and national legislatures, you need to kind of run exercises on those. You need to practice. Like, what kind of business is there in the world where they like all you have to do is get elected and then all of a sudden you're a legislator? No, you're not. You're not a legislator until you prove you can do the work of legislation. And it's not easy. And you have to, you know, I was on a 9-member body and we had 5 nominal Republicans. My biggest struggle was getting the 5 Republicans to stay together. You know, the Democrats were a reliable vote against whatever it was we were trying to do. The Republicans were not a reliable vote for the so-called Republican agenda. And so you need to figure out how to talk to people and how and what you can incrementally accomplish and when it's time to do something in a big way that overturns the apple cart, so to speak. We need to train and school these people. Now, the Democrats really aren't doing that. They understand that right now politics is such a shallow and craven game that all you need to do is get somebody elected to something, and then people look at them for the next office up and go, hey, well, yeah, that guy was on the school board, wasn't he? Yeah, he should be a county commissioner. Oh, he was on the county commission. Yeah, he should be a state assemblyman. Yeah, he was a state assemblyman. He should be a congressman. And they just kind of move up that way, never having to demonstrate any ability at the job.
And again, this is why the Democrats use the school boards as their farm team. They throw not just elections for them. Well, maybe that was an artful phrase. But they also throw money and training at them so that they are effective at controlling school boards, and then they are ready for higher office. And we suck at this. We need to get better. But I want to get back to Ms. Khalidi, because this is a more serious part of her interview. She said the funny thing is they're like her media contacts. They're like, do not disclose this is an ad, because you know, they're like, technically it's not a product, so you don't have to disclose it's an ad. And this is what grassroots means on the left. It's AstroTurf from one side of the field to the other, but none of it looks like AstroTurf because they know exactly how to play this particular game on this particular field that they have planted out of pure manufactured plastic. And not only do we have to get better at this game, but I think we need to insist on some truth in advertising laws. And if you're doing any kind of paid promotion, it's got to have a little label right there on the screen with Nancy Pelosi's smiling face. And there is your right angle on that, brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. Thanks so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.